What's the agenda for this meeting? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. The purpose of the transfiguration of Christ on the mountain was clear, to reveal to Peter, James, and John the true nature of their Lord. It was a way to open their eyes to reality. But Jesus would gain something from this event as well. That seems to be why Moses and Elijah were invited to the meeting, and their discussion centered on not eternal glory, but the imminent crisis. Today, we'll complete Jim's sermon, Under the Shadow of the Cloud, Part 2.
John probably was, this is making 30 for easy math. Say, John's 30 years old when this is happening. 60 years later, on an island called Patmos, what happened to John? He heard a voice, right? And he turned to see the voice that was speaking. What did he see? The same thing. He uses identical language in Revelation chapter 1 to describe Jesus in his resurrection power and glory that he uses here, not John, but Luke and Matthew and Mark used to describe Jesus here on the Mount of Transfiguration. His eyes, his face glowing like the sun. Okay, we can connect with that. But how do you explain his robe? I mean, his robe's not part of him. It's just wool or rayon. They didn't have rayon back then, did they? It's something. It's just clothes. It's totally devoid of any life of its own. It's just clothes. And we read, his robe became white and glistening. Mark tells us that his robe oscillated with light. It was brighter than any dry cleaners could ever get it. This is God's response to his son in prayer. This is God in heaven responding to God on earth and permitting God on earth to show forth, to manifest the essential deity that is his. Incredible. Hold your thumb right there and turn to two other verses with me. Just let me underscore this. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, I think it is. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 6, where it talks about the one true God, the transcendent God. And it describes him for us. Here it is. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 14, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest, now watch, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone hath immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. See, that's a quality of God. God is light, not darkness. And when he is in his full manifestation, when he hasn't dimmed down the current, no one can approach him. That light is so brilliant. It exudes a power that makes it impossible for people to see, whom no man has seen nor can see. What we're seeing on the Mount of Transfiguration is this God, who is light, reveal himself through the physical quality of illumination. I think Hebrews also, yeah. In Hebrews chapter 1, there's a verse that reminds us of the same thing. It's talking about God who in times past spoke to the fathers by the prophets. This is Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. In the last days, this God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. the transfusion of his glory. What Peter, James, and John were privileged to see is Jesus assuming that posture, that character that he had that was natural to him before he became a man. They're seeing raw deity manifest through the illumination, not just of his face, but of his very robe. It's an incredible thing that they're watching. Remember what Jesus said? What and if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? That's what they're seeing. They're seeing it. Now hang with me. Two things I want to make the point in just a minute. And behold, two men talk with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory. That means that Moses and Elijah, as they appeared to the Lord Jesus, were themselves in a glorified state. Moses didn't look old and wrinkled, and Elijah didn't look fearful and cranky. They were in glory. They appeared in a glorified condition. In 1 John, you know this, 1 John chapter 3, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Remember that? And in Colossians chapter 3 says, we're to set our affection on things above, not things on the earth, for we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear, Colossians 4, 3. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Same phrase, in glory, in a state of glory, as glorified ones. Now, what you're seeing, Peter, James, and John, what you're seeing is Moses standing in the land. Remember, Moses, you can't go over with the people. Well, here's Moses. He's standing in the land. They're standing on Mount Hermon. This is the land. He had seen it afar and then gone up. You're seeing Elijah, who was taken to heaven by a chariot of fire, drawn by steeds of fire. I don't know how you process that. I can't process it. I just believe it. So these two men who had unusual experiences of leaving the world themselves. Moses just goes up on the mountain and God takes his life and takes care of his body. So nobody knows where Moses' body is. Interesting. These two men who had their unusual departures from the world are now standing with Jesus. He is radiating and they are in glory with him. That is, they are radiating his glory. They are manifesting His work in their lives and their bodies. Now, does it not amaze you that Peter, James, and John knew who they were? That's always caught my fancy. There wasn't any, would you introduce us to your friends? No, they knew who they were. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read that someday we shall know even as we are known. You know what that means? That means that your ability to know and to comprehend will be magnificently broadened beyond what it is now. And you will know even as you know. And here's Peter, James, and John knowing, oh, that's Moses, knowing that's Elijah. Now, give them a break. I'd be pretty impressed by that too, wouldn't you? I mean, think of all the things you'd like to ask them. Hey, Mo, tell me, who was that woman you married that caused such a stir with Miriam and your brother? Aren't you curious about that? You had forgotten about that, hadn't you? Well, I'm curious about that. And Elijah, what in the world made you run for your life from Jezebel when you had just called down fire from God and slew, killed with the sword, all those prophets. What kind of witch was she? Why did you lose your perspective? What happened to you, Elijah? I want to ask him that question. I can imagine wanting to say, how many RPMs did those steeds of fire and that chariot of fire rev up? And what happened to your physical body? I mean, there's so many things that would slip to your tongue if you were thinking and had the opportunity to interview Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. But notice what Luke says. They had an agenda they were discussing with him. Now, this all began by Jesus praying in light of his commitment 6 days before, I'm going to the cross. That's where I'm headed. Now he goes up into a mountain to pray. Moses and Elijah appear, and we read in verse 31, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease. The Greek word is exodus, and you might want to write that down in your margin, exodus. It means the way out. They were talking about his exodus. That's the Greek word, exodus. The word exodus comes from two words, ex meaning out or through, dos meaning way, the way out. They were talking about the way Jesus was going to come out of his earthly incarnation, his earthly humiliation. They were talking about how he was going to come out of his earth ministry back to where they are. His exodus, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. When Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, let that be a lesson to you if you sleep on Sunday mornings during the sermon, you're liable to miss something. And by the way, that may be why Peter shot off his mouth, just like I do. Peter, James, and John were heavy with sleep. They were heavy with sleep. How many of you have ever tried to pray intently and discovered that sleep comes oh so easily when you're trying to pray? Yeah. Same thing happened here. Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, I should say so, when they realized that they'd been slumbering and Jesus had been praying, and they opened their eyes a bit, and here's Jesus, and realize there's two other people, and they're talking, and the three of them are talking about the Exodus, and then they realize this is Moses and Elijah. When all of that stirred them to full consciousness, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. One other thing I want to mention. Verse 34, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. They were fearful as they entered the cloud. A voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Hear him. Peter, you said, you're the only one who's got the words of life. Listen to him. Don't listen to Moses. He served me in his season. Don't listen to Elijah. He had a place in my plan, but now the main event is taking place. This is the one who spoke through Moses. This is the one who was on another mountain manifesting his presence by a flame within a bush. This is the one who spoke to Moses out of that flaming bush. This is the one who was in the Shekinah glory, in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle that Moses built. This is the one. This is the one. Moses, thank you. Take a step aside. Elijah, thank you. Move over to the side. Listen to him. Listen to him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. Now, I want to hypothesize with you for just a minute. This is Custer so don't canonize this. At that moment, Jesus was more in heaven than he was on earth. At that moment, heaven had descended to earth in response to Jesus' prayer. And it had not just descended in the sense of the Father's presence. It had descended in the sense of the Father and the Spirit and the Son's power. It had also descended in the privilege of two very famous Old Testament unique prophets who were honored to be there with Jesus. And when the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in him I'm well pleased," he could just as easily have said, "Come on home, Son." And the curtain could have dropped. And Peter, James, and John would have been alone on that mountainside. As far as the Son was concerned, there was nothing to be added to his perfection. But when the cloud lifted, Jesus remained. Why? He would go to the cross so that you and I could cross through that cloud and be like him. So our Father, help us as we read this passage to understand again how you must have felt to be standing there as you were before in all your transcendent glory and majesty and power, to be on the inside of heaven's curve, shielded from sin and sinners, and radiating all of the glory that is innately yours as Creator God. And yet you chose to stay with us. No wonder Peter, James, and John were stunned and silent as that truth dawned upon them. But thank you for staying. Thank you for filling your word that the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things. He must be betrayed into the hands of sinners. He must be killed. And 3 days later, he must rise again. Thanks for not checking out early and abandoning us to the fate we deserve of sin, wickedness, and eternal separation from you, like the devil and his angels. Thanks for staying the course. Help us to see that long before the Garden of Gethsemane, you were praying, "Not my will, but thine be done." Remind us that at Calvary, just the opposite happened, Father. Jesus there had to step into the pit. He had to experience the abandonment of all that was glory, all that was beautiful, all that was lovely, all that was pure. He had to be made sin and be cursed and forsaken. In every sense of the word, he had to go to hell. Not once, but in those few hours, he had to experience all hell can give to every mortal who deserves to go there. That was the cup. Help us to see tonight that just as he refused to Satan's compromising temptations in the wilderness 3 years earlier, so here on the Mount of Transfiguration, he graciously passed on an opportunity to just ascend back to where he belonged. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for staying the course. out of that, teach us that if we would follow you, then we must be willing to take the same route. Teach us to be willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. And to embrace the cross as the instrument of death by which all that is sinful within me might be destroyed, rendered inoperative. And in his place, the Spirit of God create a new Jim filled with righteousness and joy and long-suffering and gentleness, meekness, and self-control. As you sought there on that mountain to indelibly convince those three disciples of who you are, convince us tonight and make us willing to follow you and trust you and obey you. For only you have the words of eternal life. Thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. Draw us back to it for refreshment often. Teach us what our Lord here shows, that prayer is a place of strength. It's a place of renewal. It's a place where heaven touches the human heart, where burdens are lifted, and where God's Spirit has opportunity to refashion and change me and strengthen me and prepare me for the road ahead. Teach us, Lord, to pray. Convince us of its value. Draw us to wait upon you as our Lord did on that mountain. May we take with us tonight those things that are important for our souls and necessary for our faith, and may we be prepared to go on in our journey of faith as James did his. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On Mount Calvary, there was another transfiguration, wasn't there? When his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. When he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. We've been hearing Jim's sermon, Under the Shadow of the Cloud, Part 2, on the past few episodes of Right Start. As usual, we have a CD of the sermon ready at your request for your gift of $7 or more. The talk is part of our series, Under the Shadow of Jesus. It follows the footsteps of the Apostle James. And the 9 messages in that group will come to you in a CD album for your offering of just $34 or more. Every weekday, Right Start relays the words of God. And each day's broadcast is a gift to you from other listeners. That process starts with one person feeling the impulse to give and acting on that. And that person could be you. Thanks to all of you who are helping with your gifts and prayers. You can donate securely on the website, and there you'll have access to more ministry and more audio formats. It's rightstartradio.org. You can play radio programs and play or download complete sermons. And you can receive Right Start as a daily podcast. There's a link at rightstartradio.org or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is almost here, and Jim's next sermon is timed perfectly. Under the Shadow of His Celebration is coming up on Thursday's broadcast. Please join us for an elevating Right Start.